Srila Prabhupada's Vyas Puja celebration today. I'd like to thank all of you for coming today on behalf of Temple Management. Today we are celebrating Srila Prabhupada's 115th Vyas Puja. Srila Prabhupada ki jai! So soon we'll begin offerings by various devotees from our temple. Srila Prabhupada has made a major contribution in each and every devotee here. Everything we know today in spiritual life is because of the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. So the list is unending. What Srila Prabhupada has given us, many of us are born in India, and we can be sure that even as an Indian, very close to Vedic culture, many of us did not know actually what is Vedic culture. And by reading Srila Prabhupada's books, coming in association of devotees, we have understood what actually Krishna consciousness is really. Srila Prabhupada has given us many things. Even the ceremony of Vyas Puja, which we are celebrating, even that also Srila Prabhupada has taught us. That how one should respect his spiritual master. Spiritual master is a messenger of Krishna. He should worship as good as Krishna because he has given Krishna to all of us. I recollect Srila Prabhupada in the early days of ISKCON, in the late 1960s, Srila Prabhupada had told all of his newly initiated disciples that we'll be celebrating Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's Vyas Puja tomorrow. And Prabhupada gave guidelines of how to do it. But because they were all new, the next day Srila Prabhupada saw that nothing was arranged. It was a fiasco. So when Prabhupada came to know that his spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's Vyas Puja day is there and nothing is happening, Prabhupada became upset. So Prabhupada himself took up the reins. Srila Prabhupada went into the kitchen. In 1 hour, Prabhupada prepared a mega feast. Prabhupada came out, arranged for all the flower decorations and called for all the offerings. And in this way, Srila Prabhupada taught all of his initial disciples how to celebrate the Vyas Puja of their spiritual master. Many of the early disciples, they recollect that Srila Prabhupada had met on that day, amongst various preparations, Srila Prabhupada had prepared khichdi. Why? Because Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur would like khichdi. One of the dishes he would like. So when Prabhupada made that khichdi, the devotees who savored that khichdi after the Vyas Puja celebration, they all remember that they were stunned eating, honoring that khichdi. No one could even describe the special taste that khichdi had. So this was Srila Prabhupada's love for his spiritual master. So Srila Prabhupada has taught us everything, even how to celebrate the Vyas Puja of the spiritual master. So following in his footsteps, we are trying something here to celebrate Srila Prabhupada's Vyas Puja celebration. Once one devotee came with one flower and she wanted to offer to Srila Prabhupada. She went to Prabhupada and gave the flower to her. Flower to Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, yes, offer it to Prabhupada. So she was confused that she was standing in front of Prabhupada and she was offering this flower to Prabhupada and Prabhupada is saying, offer it to Prabhupada. So she was confused. So Prabhupada, realizing the confusion, then Prabhupada said, just like you have your Prabhupada, I have my Prabhupada. So you offer this to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada. So in this world, especially in India, so many people are there whose Jayanti, Punya Tithi are being celebrated. They are in the calendar, but the world does not know about Srila Prabhupada. So as Srila Prabhupada's followers, we need to really work hard to make Srila Prabhupada popular and available for everyone. So here today we have all gathered to offer Srila Prabhupada our heartfelt, humble homages and pray to him to continue showering his mercy upon us. Today's Srila Prabhupada's appearance celebration will be like this. We'll be first offering Srila Prabhupada his Vyas Puja book, and then after that we'll begin offerings. We request each and every devotee who is called here to speak only for 5 minutes so that all the other devotees whose name are on the list can also speak and make their offering. So these offerings will continue till 8:55. And then we'll be having Pushpanjali, and then we'll be having Guru Puja Aarti. So before we begin, I would like to request Her Grace Nartaki Mataji to come ahead and offer Srila Prabhupada Vyas Puja book. Where is the Vyas Puja book? Yeah. Krishnambu will help her. So I would request first Her Grace Nartaki Mataji to make her offering to Srila Prabhupada. Meanwhile, I'll request Krishnam Prabhu to be ready. Hare Krishna.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. It's working? Yeah, you can. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Simita Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamini. Namaste Sarasati Devi Goravani Pacharini Nivishesha Shunyavadi Pastitya Rishitaini. Today, on this wonderful, auspicious day of the appearance of our beloved Guru Maharaj Srila Prabhupada, I wanted to share with the devotees my visit to Australia. This year we had the 40th anniversary of Prabhupada's coming to Australia, and many God brothers and God sisters assembled there and glorified Srila Prabhupada and remembered him, all the wonderful pastimes of Srila Prabhupada in Australia. And it was also a wonderful experience to again see my God brothers and God sisters, many of them who are very accomplished and in their helping Srila Prabhupada in spreading Krishna consciousness. So as Prabhupada always was so happy to hear from the devotees, like the temple presidents or whoever went to see Srila Prabhupada at different places, to report to him the activities of our preaching in different countries. So in this mood, I also like to read about and share with you what I've heard in Australia. And in Australia, we also have Radha Gopinath deities, the first deities that came to Australia. And they're very small, but they're lovingly served by the devotees there, and they have their... When I was there, I was feeling they were very happy. And Prabhupada actually says that, you know, you can see when the deities are smiling, you know, when the deities are smiling, they seem to be happy like that. They're happy. So we had different speakers there in Sydney. It was in Sydney, Australia. And we have a temple, a beautiful temple there. And Charu Prabhu was one of the speakers. He was the third temple president in Australia. He first of all, Prabhupada sent Bali Madan and Upendra to Australia. And then Prabhupada established the governing board commission in which Bali Madan was assigned for the Southeast Asian district, you know. So he had to travel around and see that the preaching... He was very daring in his establishing of new centers, and Prabhupada very much liked his spirit in that way. And he was preaching in Japan, and he was preaching in Australia as the first person to go there. And after that, Upendra joined him, who was also an excellent preacher. And then Charu Prabhu came, who was Christopher Warden at that time, with his friend Christina or something. And she became my Bhavi. And both of them, they were like boyfriend and girlfriend. But when they joined Krishna consciousness, they were separately becoming brahmacharini, because Prabhupada wanted that they either become married or they would stay single. And so they were explaining their experiences. And I'm just reading a few passages since I have only 5 minutes, which is almost impossible to ask. But so Charu was saying, I was coming home from work one night in the train, and he saw from the corner of his eye a devotee, Upendra. There was another devotee, Upendra, who had joined somewhere else and who came to Australia later on. He said that love of God is a dormant propensity in the heart of every living being, not only spirit, soul, and human bodies, but everything that is animated. He also said that love of God can be awakened by the Hare Krishna, chanting of the Hare Krishna. Just as the seed is nourished by water, he said, similarly, the seed of love of God is nourished by chanting. So he liked all the explanation, and it made so much sense to him that he actually joined Krishna consciousness. So Charu said, so they joined, and Bababi, his friend, his girlfriend, she explains, I was starting to utilize my artistic talents in Krishna's service. I had graduated from London School of Fine Arts. And had shown a propensity for creating paintings in oil. I was fast and not too finicky or mental about my art. Apparently, Srila Prabhupada appreciated these qualities of an artist. He expected those commissioned to paint illustrations for his recently published Krishna book, Volume 1, to produce at least a painting per week. I was not that fast, but I was enthusiastic. Bali Madan asked me to paint a picture of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. I was sent to Srila Prabhupada in Tokyo, and he subsequently placed the picture was sent to Srila Prabhupada in Tokyo, and he subsequently placed it on his altar. Please convey my thanks to this girl, he wrote. Prabhupada was very pleased with her paintings. She had. There's a painting here, but you can't see it. Maybe only the people in front may be able to see it. But this is a storefront similar to that in New York where we opened our first temple. It has a, and she copied this kind of a painting, the Radha Krishna standing, and there's a halo or an aura of lotus petals. Like in New York, they had the Hare Krishna mantra, and she painted lotus petals instead. And above, she wrote Sri Sri Radha Krishna Temple, and all above that, she had a banner saying, Srila Prabhupada, welcome in Australia. So, you can stop me if you want me to stop. I can say a lot, but you know, I know you. I don't know what you. How many people want to speak? She had also a talent. She made hand puppets. So we used to go to Australia in Sydney to a place called Hyde Park. And in that Hyde Park, there used to be speakers coming, either political or whatever they wanted to speak about. They would stand up on a box and people would gather around and they would speak. So she was very innovative. She created hand puppets, and we started preaching by having little plays with the puppets and sometimes dramas, short dramas, skits. And all the people would leave, all the other speakers, and they would come and surround us, and we had kirtans, and we would not just stand in one place, we would move around in the crowd, and then they would follow us, and like that. So, and plus we were looking very exotic, you know, with the saris and the dhotis, and so they were interested in what we were doing. So then, Charu also says, now we joined, they joined a daily Harinam that involved going back to the very spot where I had met Upendra. And so they were distributing back to God its magazines, and sometimes they would give peanuts and raisin packets as prasadam. Upendra said, like, you know, because many devotees before they came to Krishna consciousness, they were like hippies. So they were very careless in the way they were dressing and looked very disheveled and dirty like that. So Charu is saying, Upendra set us all down and taught us how to play the kartals properly and discussed how we could improve our street sankirtan. Upendra had insisted that the devotees should not look disheveled, but rather that we dress in clean, neat attire. And he taught us, you know, the Swami step, as Prabhupada had taught us, to sway back and forth, not to do some crazy dance like we were used to do in discos and all these kind of places. But he wanted us to present everything and ourselves very nicely. So another person that was there was Hari Suri, and Hari Suri had a seminar on Prabhupada on different about prasadam, different instances that happened in all around the world where he, as he traveled around with Prabhupada as his servant, where Prabhupada made statements about prasadam, and the importance of prasadam, and how to honor prasadam, honor kadasi, etc. I would like to give more details, but I'm trying to keep it short. So then there was another devotee. We had a big Harinam in the Bay of Sydney, with the opera house in the back, very scenic. You know, the ocean is very blue there, and the opera house, it's a white, looks like a shell, kind of. It's kind of famous. So we were going with at least 500, 600 devotees. Of course, that may not sound so impressive to you, because you're used to many more devotees here, but being in the West, you know, that is a good crowd. And it's mixed Indian devotees and Western devotees. And people were very curious in stopping, and we would stop sometimes and also speak a little bit. And Kumar Prabhu, who is a cook and a very good lecturer also, and also he was very good at deity worship also. He was doing very innovative preaching by his cooking class, through his cooking classes. They were not just cooking classes. It was actually contacting people and preaching and injecting Krishna consciousness into their lives, you know, and he went on TV for that. And he has also related a short instance, and I remember this also. We were in Glebe in one part of Sydney, and he said, after Srila Prabhupada's second visit to our little house at Glebe in 1972, I found myself at a start of my culinary career. I had just received my second initiation and was cooking on a daily basis. I tried my best to improve kitchen standards, although we still knew very little of what the real standard was. One day, someone posted a copy of a letter on the temple notice board. It had been originally sent to Los Angeles from Srila Prabhupada, encouraging the Los Angeles devotees to improve the standard of deity worship. Since Los Angeles had become the forerunner of all standards, the letter had been sent worldwide. In a circular, Srila Prabhupada had given some details, and especially he mentioned that we should offer bhog to Krishna 5 or 6 times daily. None of us had an idea what bhog was. Was it a vegetable, a sweet, or a type of savory? Someone speculated that they thought it was a type of rice. We looked it up in whatever scanned Indian cookbooks we could find, but discovered no recipe. It must be important, we reasoned, because Krishna was eating it 6 times a day. The bhog mystery continued to perplex us. We'd asked Indian guests who came to the temple, but to no avail. It wasn't until months later when a devotee came from India who told us, "Bhog, oh, you mean bhoga? That means unoffered food." We were relieved that, despite our ignorance, Radha Gopinath were already regularly receiving 6 offerings of bhoga every day. Then there was one more devotee, Prahlad, who was newer, next generation. Is it Prahlad Ananda? Sri Prahlad, who is a child of a devotee mother. And he was from New Zealand. Then later on he came to New Govardhan, which is a farm community in near Sydney. And he was studying there in the Gurukula. He was one of the first students. And later on, in the mid-1980s, regime, in the USSR, in Russia, they had the communist regime at its peak, and and our devotees were persecuted because we were considered to be we were propagating the philosophy which is against what the Marxist regime propagates. So they saw us as a danger, and they put many of our devotees in jails and prisons, and even they deported them to Nigeria into very extreme situations. And when Sri Prahlad heard about the persecution of the devotees in the jails in Russia, he became so upset. He was about like 12 years or so. He became so upset to hear that the kirtan and the chanting of Hare Krishna and eating prasadam and living as a devotee could be considered a crime. So he talked to his teachers, and some devotees suggested to him, what you should do if you're so upset about this, you should write to Gorbachev, Mikhail Gorbachev, the former president at that time of Russia. And he did so, and I think it was in the matter of all that, is speaking to many people. He contacted they helped him contact also the president of Australia, I think, and a whole list of names of devotees who were outraged about these mistreatments. It was sent to Gorbachev, and devotees internationally were picketing in front of Russian embassies in different countries to protest against this injustice. And then finally the devotees were released. And he had, this Sri Prahlad had, in the matter of all these campaigns, he had released a song which was heard all over Australia, "Please Let My People Go." And it was so moving, so touching that the Australians, that he became famous actually because of this song. And the Hare Krishna people became famous of, and they heard all about what had happened to the Hare Krishna people. So the Sri Prahlad was also there, and we had a nice boat ride in the harbor of Sydney, just like we have here sometimes from the gateway of India. We go sometimes on a boat ride with Maharaj, and we have kirtans, prasadam, and lectures there. So in the same way, we had this in Sydney Harbour also, and Sri Prahlad was the singer. He had a bhajan group there, and they had some very nice kirtans. The boat was rocking, and the devotees were rocking, by all, dancing and chanting. So it was very wonderful. And I'm sure Sri Prabhupada was very pleased with all the offerings of love that of the devotees and their appreciation for his kindness to have come and delivered us from the clutches of Maya, which is very prominent in America and Western countries. Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So Krishnampur will make his offering now. Meanwhile, I'll ask His Grace Sahadev Prabhu to be ready.
So we are all gathered over here to celebrate the appearance of someone who is so dear to us. And I was just thinking yesterday during the Janmashtami festival. In fact, I was reminiscing, I was going back in my childhood. Janmashtami would mean that my mother would make a special type of sweet, because I come from South India. And, you know, we would all be looking forward at least a week before to the sweet that my mother would be making. And the sweet would be such that it would last for a week or two. So we would be eagerly waiting, you know, for Janmashtami to come, only for that sweet. And otherwise, practically there was no connection to Janmashtami. It was just another festival that we would be celebrating among so many other festivals. But after coming over here, we realize, just by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, how this festival has been transformed into such an important aspect of our life. And in fact, yesterday, although the day was very austere because all of us are fasting, yeah, it's not such an easy day from the physiological point of view, but still we were throughout the day engaged in so much of service that practically you didn't really feel that you are fasting. You know, right from Mangalarti time onwards, although we are not even drinking water, there is so much of activity that Srila Prabhupada has given us on a Janmashtami day, right from chanting a japa to greeting the deities, and then Guru Puja, and then after that Bhagavatam class going on right up to 3 o'clock, and then after that so many people coming to see Sri Radha Gopinath. So this is the mercy that Srila Prabhupada has bestowed upon all of us. And also, I was just thinking that Srila Prabhupada is so kind that he has actually appeared one day later. So that it's a big, big festival that we are having, right? Starting with the previous day, which is the Janmashtami for the other people, you know, here. And then we celebrate Janmashtami, and then we have Srila Prabhupada's appearance day. So it's a 3-day festival, actually, that we are having, because even on the first day, we are having the deity's darshan, which is open till 1 o'clock in the morning. So it's really Srila Prabhupada's mercy that actually has taken birth one day later, just so that, you know, we can have a continuous festival. And I was just thinking that, you know, if you really see, even the way Srila Prabhupada departed from this world, he departed in the month of Kartik in Vrindavan. Now, of course, Srila Prabhupada could have departed at any time of the year, but he chose to depart in Kartik so that all of us, you know, could go to Vrindavan and then be there in Kartik, which is the best time of the year to be actually in Vrindavan from the climate point of view. So, and I was, doing my service, I was speaking to Sri Chaitanya Prabhu, and I told Sri Chaitanya Prabhu that I would like to, you know, participate in the Abhishek. And Sri Chaitanya Prabhu looked at me and said, of course, you are part of the deity team, deity worship team, so you can come for Abhishek. This is the eternal service of yours. Now, this is something that you should be doing without even asking me. And I was just thinking to myself, you know, this is the way he was saying it. He just gave an indication of how close we were. And actually, Sri Chaitanya Prabhu, a few years back, he was a service authority. And I remember every Saturday I would be doing this Mangalarti. And sometimes when I would reach the service late, then Sri Chaitanya Prabhu would be there waiting to chastise me. And he would be pretty heavy. All of us remember Sri Chaitanya Prabhu, you know, but he would do it because Srila Prabhupada had set this discipline that Mangalarti should be at 5 o'clock in the morning. Which other temple would you see, or which other, you know, institution would you have exactly at 5 o'clock the conch shell blowing? You know, and if you're not disciplined, because Srila Prabhupada himself would be so much disciplined. You know, we all know this anecdote how when this bell would not get rung in Vrindavan every hour, Srila Prabhupada would be looking at his watch, and then he would call the temple president and reprimand him very severely as to why is it that you're not ensuring that the temple bell is rung every hour. And then today we know that in Vrindavan and so many other temples, we have throughout the day and throughout the night, every 24 hours we have, throughout the day we have this temple bell ringing. So that's discipline. So spiritual life, I was just listening to a class of Jananivas Prabhu, and he was mentioning that spiritual life is actually like climbing a mountain. The initial days of spiritual life are very easy. Like just like when you see, when you climb the mountain, initially you're very fresh. Yeah, you're very energetic. You're feeling very nice. And you're looking forward to this whole exercise of climbing the mountain. So you're actually mentally very feeling very nice. So as you are climbing the mountain, you get more and more tired. Right? And then after that, every step feels so difficult for you to take. Particularly as you're reaching the summit, you find that you're really, you know, there's so much of demand that is being made on your body. So similarly, spiritual life also, as you spend a number of years in Krishna consciousness, you find that unless and until you take to this process very, very carefully and very sincerely and have proper relationship among the devotees, you find that you are making actually no headway in your spiritual life. It's so difficult. You know, you want to put one step forward, which, you know, in terms of spiritual life, maybe 3 months or 6 months, you're practicing your Krishna consciousness, you're doing, you know, everything that you're supposed to be doing, you're chanting your 16 rounds, and you're, you know, coming to the temple on Sundays, participating in the Sunday feast program and everything. But then, you're not finding any enthusiasm. Where is the enthusiasm that you are having, you know, in the initial days of your Krishna consciousness? It's not there. You're just doing it as a matter of routine. So the more number of years you spend in Krishna consciousness, Janardhas Prabhu was saying, the more difficult it is for us to continue in Krishna consciousness. Yeah, because there is more expectation from us to do more. Yeah, so this is the demands that are being made upon us. And we have to rise up to that demand at that particular time in order to put in more and more effort to ensure that we are in proper consciousness. So on this very auspicious day, Srila Prabhupada, we are very, very grateful to you for having given us such a wonderful institution like ISKCON, where we, at least me, a fallen Grahamedi, can somehow or the other, just by remaining in the association of devotees and, you know, being allowed to do so much of devotional service, you know, worshipping the deities is something that no institution would even allow, you know, grahasthas or even, you know, people from who are not directly in the renounced order from doing. Like if you go to Udupi, you find that actually the deity worship is being done only by sannyasis. But here in Srila Prabhupada's institution, we have grahasthas, you know, and all sorts of people who are, you know, coming from various backgrounds, they can participate in this direct devotional service. I mean, how fortunate we are. So it's all glories due to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Thank you, Krishnaram Prabhu. I'd like to invite Sahadeva Prabhu now. While Sahadeva Prabhu makes his offering, I would like to request His Grace Krishna Chandra Prabhu to be ready.
Hare Krishna. So these occasions, like appearance and disappearance of a great devotee, gives us opportunity to meditate on their love, compassion, and the gift they have given to us in the form of Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada has given us this matchless gift, priceless gift, to the entire world in the form of Krishna consciousness. So I was just thinking in the morning, what should I speak on this occasion? And I thought that looking to the present current situation in India and abroad, let me think about how relevant Prabhupada's preaching of Krishna consciousness, his teachings are relevant into this contest. So we see that as the Kali Yuga is progressing, there is so much degradation in the consciousness of the people because of so much temptations and we see that corruption is rampant in the country because of these tendencies. So much anarthas in their heart and mind, so much filth is there in the form of lust, anger, greed, envy, etc. And there is a movement which is going on, which is people say Anna Raja Wave, which is trying to actually address this problem. But this is an attempt trying to cure the symptoms. Just like Prabhupada many times said that in this world people are trying to just cure the symptoms and not going to the root cause. What is the cause of the disease? So this wave is actually trying to sort of a passing of a strong Lokpal bill or Jan Lokpal bill. This may be a deterrent, but it will not be a cure. So, in this situation, what is Prabhupada has given us? These things will not eradicate all these things which are happening now. So, people when we look into this Prabhupada's, what Prabhupada has given us, we simply have to bow down our head in gratitude, because he has given the cure for everything. The real cause of disturbance is the anarthas in our heart. And because of this, not only material resources, but people are being exploited. And therefore, the purity of the heart is most important. And the real revolution is not that what people are seeing today, which is trying to actually previous revolutions and all that, when they try to remove the ruler or the government or the social evils, they are just a patchwork. And it can work only for some time. But ultimately, the same situation comes again and again, and the same disease comes again and again. The real revolution is given by Srila Prabhupada in the form of Krishna consciousness, where the disease of our mind and heart is cured. Real revolution is there, the transformation of the heart of the people by accepting Krishna consciousness. This is the real solution, and this is the matchless gift Prabhupada has given us. So, as we see in the first meeting which Prabhupada had with Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Swami, he told him that you are an educated young man, go to the Western world and preach Krishna consciousness, message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Srila Prabhupada said at that time that we are not yet independent. We are under British Raj. And how people will listen to us? And then Saraswati Thakur told him that whether this government or that government, Krishna consciousness cannot wait. And we see in the present context that how this degradation is going on. Actually, 50 years back, when I look back, I feel that that was golden years. But today, the degradation is so fast that we find all around us, all the filth, everything is going degrading. And the pollution of the mind is going so fast. So at that time, we can see the vision of Saraswati Thakur, that he told Prabhupada that Krishna consciousness cannot wait. Because ultimately we see that even after such sacrifice and getting independence, people find that there is no difference. Actually, we are in worse position. We find saying many times that British Raj, we were better off than now this in this situation. So nothing changes with the rule. It is the Krishna consciousness which can really change the entire world. And this is the priceless gift of Srila Prabhupada, which he has given to the entire world by transforming the hearts of the people so that they overcome all these anarthas, these demonic tendencies of lust, anger, greed, envy, etc. And if we see that in these 45 years which Prabhupada has given us, this Krishna consciousness, we are feeling so much grateful to him. But it is the prediction that 10,000 years will be the golden years. So when that, as soon as time passes, not only Hare Krishna people who are attached to Hare Krishna movement, but people in general will find that this is the real movement, this is the real revolution, and they will understand what Prabhupada has done for the entire world. So, for giving this gift to the entire world on the instructions of his guru, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Swami, Prabhupada has taken so much pains, tremendous austerities, so much disturbances, so much sacrifice, and we are just getting the mercy, his mercy, through this Krishna consciousness, his actually compassion to the entire world. We are here because of his mercy and compassion. And our what we are doing, we are trying to follow the Prabhupada teachings. We are trying to purify our heart, mind, and our own existence. And unless there is a transformation of heart, we are free from these anarthas, nothing will change. All these efforts are extraneous. They may work for some time, and again same thing will happen. So this is not a, we are not going for a temporary treatment of a symptom. Prabhupada has gone deep into the, actually diagnosis the real disease, which are the six anarthas. And therefore, unless we follow the path given by Prabhupada and in our own lives, and also spread this movement to others, there is not going to change. Nothing is going to change. So the real solution is that whatever we get from Srila Prabhupada, we have to give it to others also. And then only the change will come. So it is a great responsibility on our shoulders, practically everybody of us who are connected to ISKCON, that we simply become humble instruments for Prabhupada, for Krishna, for the parampara, for Bhakti Saraswati Maharaj, to spread this movement. And this was the vision of Srila Saraswati Thakur. And therefore he told Srila Prabhupada that nothing can, Krishna consciousness cannot wait, because he could see the degradation. And therefore he was very concerned that Krishna consciousness should be spread throughout the world. And this is this gift which we have received, we have to distribute to others. And I feel that in order to show our gratitude, in order to please Srila Prabhupada, we all should share this responsibility of spreading this movement. And by spreading this movement, we can have much peaceful society. People will be contented, people will be satisfied, peaceful and happy. And if that is the position, then all these things will fall into place. So, Srila Prabhupada's sacrifice, we should be very grateful for him. And the only thing is that we have to show our gratitude by becoming an instrument to assist in his movement. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Thank you, Sahadev Prabhu, for informing us Srila Prabhupada's time-tested solution for the current crisis which India is undergoing. We'd like to request Krishna Chandra Prabhu to come up here. Meanwhile, Her Grace Tulsi Manjari Mataji to get ready for the offering.
Dear Srila Prabhupada, just recently I had an opportunity to read an incredible book, The Miracle on Second Avenue. This is a very simple book, but it so beautifully and in depth really takes us back to the beginning of the Hare Krishna movement and graphically describes how the transformation in the devotees' hearts took place. So I was thinking that this miracle on Second Avenue, also there's been a miracle on 7K Munshi Marg, there's a miracle on so many temples all around the world, so many devotees' hearts are being transformed. This we have witnessed, we have experienced it. And yesterday we had the Janmashtami celebrations, which precedes your appearance in this world. And we had about maybe 18,000-20,000 devotees who came, people who came here for taking darshan. And though I've been in this service for several years, but somehow yesterday just struck me when I was watching the over 7-8 hours, the people just streaming into the temple, that how just most of them were total strangers. A few of them may have come here in your temple before, but how this miracle is going on. Actually, typically, the person spends about 20 minutes in the temple. And Srila Prabhupada, you had that full conviction, but yesterday I felt that it was like a laboratory experiment for people like us, for me, who perhaps may have mentally accepted but not actually seeing how a person, you know, in 20 minutes, how much transformation can go through them. Actually, since I like numbers, I like to bore you with one number, but an average person of 40 years would have spent more than 2 crore minutes by now. And in 2 crore minutes, he's so much conditioned. We are all conditioned into our whole life, our desires, our, you know, what we love, what we hate, what we want to do, our goals, everything. How is it that such conditioning of 2 crore minutes, then in 20 minutes, it is, you know, unless you see it, you know, and I was standing at the exit so I could see people coming in and, you know, meeting and going. And then the electrifying impressions that left on there, just seeing the temple, seeing the beautiful deities, feeling the love of the devotees here, which you have created, just entering the holy dham of the temple, this whole sublime atmosphere of kirtans, books, they were witness to the projects here, the paintings here, prasad, charanamrit. Believe me, it was such an incredible experience just to see the faces when they were coming and they were going. Generally, they would come with a desire to experience what they think would be good, you know, as they go to several temples. But here, within a few moments, you know, they were transformed into, you could see the big smiles, the many were clapping their hands, so many were in tears. Thing is, most of them were sad to go, and many were begging to stay. These were people who had just walked in a few minutes before, and they were saying, can we not spend some time? Of course, we had to look at the collective good, so it was very heart-wrenching to see that it was not possible. Most were all very obedient and cooperative. But they, by your mercy, Srila Prabhupada, they got a glimpse of the genuine pleasure and joy that they probably have not seen in their miserable existence, trying to snatch at happiness here and there. People, old people hobbling in, the young, modern people, you know, they were sophisticated, men and women, traditional people, rich and poor, all castes were there. We had some Parsis also. There was one Parsi gentleman who was just begging that, can I take a photograph? He said, yes, of course you can take. But he said, no, my photos are not coming well. I want to go on to the altar. He said, you can't go on the altar. Then he said, he understood. I said, it's not possible. He said, okay, can you please tell somebody to take my camera and go there? You know, where that time the Abhishek was going on. You know, we could see a person who has no inkling of this religion, of this spiritual culture. I mean, you could see the kind of a glow on their face. So this is happening, of course, in so many temples of yours all over. But what I understood was that they all had one common feature, that in this mesmerization, this being overwhelmed, they just let down their guard briefly for a few minutes. And at that time, we could just get a glimpse of how their desperate soul was searching for connection with the super soul. So, Srila Prabhupada, I could say that your brief experiment, just for the sake of telling us, was successful. You knew all along the potency when you went to the USA. Of course, you knew that was your compassion. You also, and not only why only these devotees, these people who came for the first time, but even devotees who have been here for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, an occasion like this, like Janmashtami, we could see the wonderful sacrifices, the cooperation. Devotees were happily doing whatever they needed to many hundreds of devotees did not even stay in the evening because they were attending other programs that were started, just so that the temple that you have inspired to create, more and more people could see. Devotees were handling shoes, chappals, cars, egos. They had to do all things. And lastly, what really struck me was when I went down at the end at 12:35, 12:40, of course, there was a long queue for taking the chappal because, as usual, there were seven rows coming into one, merging into one. And there, of course, the brahmacharis here, the residents here had doubled up and they were co-opted into handling the seva because it was a huge rush. There were literally several hundreds who were waiting in queue. And when I gave my token, and there I saw Vrachandra Prabhu, our dear Vrachandra Prabhu, who is such an expert servant of His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj. He knows everything, how he has to go about his role. But here he was just fumbling with, number 6104, where is it? Because he certainly was not trained in this particular, unless you have some idea. But what struck me was that, it had the same intensity, the same humility to whether you're serving the spiritual master, whether you're serving, the shoe stall, giving out shoes to hundreds of people. And I was thinking, wow, Srila Prabhupada, what you have done is amazing. You have, and somebody has to be completely crazy to want to leave this family of yours. So I would just like to thank you, Srila Prabhupada, millions and millions of times for creating such a wonderful new world and a new family for us. Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you, Krishna Chandra Prabhu, for making his offering and telling us about the miracle which has taken place at 7 km Munshi Mark. I would like to thank him also to be part of that miracle. I would like to request now Tulsi Manjari Mataji to come forward. Meanwhile, Gauranga Prabhu to be ready.
Hare Krishna. Prabhupada once said, the author of the book knows very well what is the purpose of that book. In this connection, Prabhupada told a story. The author of the book, Shah Jahan, was asked why the book was entitled so, when actually the book is full of stories of Aurangzeb. The author replied, Shah Jahan built the Taj Mahal in memory of his wife, Mumtaz, who died at an early age. And the monument is one of the seven wonders of the world. He spent all his money to construct the monument, but unfortunately, one of his sons, Aurangzeb, killed his brothers and imprisoned Shah Jahan for the rest of his life to usurp the kingdom. So Shah Jahan spent his last days as a prisoner in the Agra fort, suffering from the loss of his sons and wife. Therefore, he is the hero and not Aurangzeb. Similarly, Prabhupada said, the Vedanta Sutras were compiled by Srila Vyasadeva, who is the literary incarnation of Krishna. Therefore, if you want to understand the Vedanta Sutras, you must understand Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam is the commentary of Vedanta Sutra and is the most authentic literature. A Vaishnava has 26 good qualities, and Prabhupada had all these qualities in full measures. Merciful, truthful, magnanimous, desireless, indifferent to material acquisition, without material possession, without false prestige, grave, respectful, equal to everyone, peaceful, clean, mild, poetic, surrender to Krishna, expert, and so on. I'll elaborate on one of these qualities of Srila Prabhupada, that he was an expert. When he arrived in the US in 1965, he faced the tremendous challenge of attracting gross materialists to the sublime spiritual process of Krishna consciousness. He ignited a spiritual explosion whose vibrations are still resonating throughout the world. He demonstrated such preaching skill by presenting Krishna consciousness perfectly according to time, place, and circumstances offering such an attractive and palatable spiritual program that any sincere soul can easily follow. Today at Rath Yatra festivals all over the world, millions of people chant, dance, and cheer in a universal expression of appreciation as Lord Jagannath's colorful chariots pass through the city streets. From this, it is clear that Srila Prabhupada was such an expert that even in his physical absence, Krishna consciousness is being spread throughout the world by the faithful application of his instructions. On this very auspicious day, I beg forgiveness for all my offenses committed against Vaishnavas and pray for your blessings to serve your mission, and would like to thank you for all that you have done for us and for giving us your wonderful disciples and grand disciples for faithfully and diligently carrying out your mission. Thank you so much, Srila Prabhupada.
Prabhupada ki jai. I'd like to request Gauranga Prabhu to make his offering. Meanwhile, Dwarkadish Prabhu, please be ready.
Hare Krishna. After that wonderful offering from Krishna Chandra Prabhu, I'm inspired to just narrate one more incident which happened just this evening about how Srila Prabhupada's temples can create transformation. One boy we were preaching to in IIT for many years, so he has come with his family today, and he's about to go to America in the next few days. So today his mother came to me and said that, I don't want him to go to America, I want him to join Brahmachari. And the boy, he said to mother that, don't speak like this. And he was kind of little bewildered by this sudden transformation. And I asked her that, how is it that for so many years you never mentioned this, and suddenly on this day you are coming up and speaking? So she said that she had never experienced the ambience of an ISKCON temple like this. And when she saw this ambience of this temple and seeing so many wonderful devotees serving, and also when she saw the Janmashtami festival yesterday, so she just felt that this is a completely different experience of a temple. So Srila Prabhupada has created, of course he is still going to America, but I just felt that Srila Prabhupada, he created a miracle. It was not just a miracle in Second Avenue, it is really a miracle worldwide, that people all over the world have opportunity to take shelter in this oasis, which is a temple. Otherwise, to practice Krishna consciousness in modern lifestyle is so difficult. One newspaper reporter was challenging Srila Prabhupada, and he said, you're always criticizing technology, and you're saying so many negative things about technology. You're saying that, you know, all of these things are useless. And at one point you had also mentioned that all of these inventions like airplanes are useless. But I see that you are using airplanes. And Prabhupada coolly said, because I am using airplanes, so it is useful. Because we are trying to spread God consciousness, Krishna consciousness. I don't think too many of us would be able to speak statements like that with such conviction, with such boldness, in America, to Americans, using all the American facilities. And then, you know, he's just presenting the paradigm in such a bold manner, and people were still accepting and appreciating. Srila Prabhupada, our Bhakti Brihata Bhagavat Maharaj, was telling the story. So he said Prabhupada in Chennai, he was preaching to one Mayavadi. And this Mayavadi was finding faults with Prabhupada's purport. And he was saying that the sixth chapter of Gita is all about yoga, and you are talking about Krishna. Here he says Dhyana Yoga, you are saying Harinam Sankirtan and Krishna. And here, another place there is yoga, you are saying Krishna. And Prabhupada said, which other shloka? So So he said, this shloka again you're mentioning about Krishna. And Prabhupada said, which other chapter? This chapter, you're mentioning Krishna, glorifying Krishna. There is no mention of Krishna here. And then Prabhupada took him through all the chapters, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, all the way till 18 chapters. And the devotees were thinking that if this person is an impersonalist, Prabhupada should be smashing him. Prabhupada is encouraging him to speak. And then finally they asked Prabhupada, why did you do that? And Prabhupada said, last 2 hours he was continuously glorifying Krishna. He was chanting holy names of Krishna. And he was getting an opportunity to be purified. Prabhupada was on a travel, and then they had packed some prasadam. So when they were sitting in the train, somebody came and brought some prasad and, you know, in a box and offered it. And Prabhupada started distributing to the devotees. So there was this young American devotee also. And he had recently joined and he had heard about all the procedures for offering and how prasadam is so important. And then as Prabhupada gave the piece of sweet to him, he asked Srila Prabhupada, is this offered? Prabhupada immediately took the sweet back and said, you need not have. And gave it to the next person. So Srila Prabhupada, you know, he was practically teaching people all over the world how to offer food to Krishna, which was a completely new concept. And people were accepting it, although it was not part of their original traditional culture and religion. And they were wholeheartedly following it, which in itself is mind-boggling. One cannot easily imagine that people would do that. And you can see Yamuna Devi, she has written such a cookbook, so exhaustive, with all the details of all the recipes, and how Srila Prabhupada personally taught her so many things during their travels. And it is one of the award-winning cookbooks. And a couple of decades of research work has gone into that. Prabhupada was in Aligarh. You know, Aligarh, there is one gentleman who runs a company. It's a famous lock company, Tiger Lock Company. And Prabhupada had a program at his house. So Prabhupada, at that time there was emergency going on, 1975. And Indira Gandhi had created a slogan, Kam Adhik Bate Kam. And it was a Hindi lecture. And this was Mr. Sehgal, the owner of the Tiger Lock Company. And Prabhupada was speaking, and then he came to this point, you know, that people are saying that the government is making slogan, Kam Adhik Bate Kam. And in Hindi, Prabhupada said, Hum Nahi Mante. Gita mein Bhagwan kehte hain kaam kam baate adhik. And then he said, you have to take out time, do katha, do kirtan, and then you do other things. And then immediately at that point, the host ran up to the stage and whispered in Prabhupada's ear, Swamiji, Mantri ji aaye hain. You know, there was someone who was close to Indira Gandhi at that time. And Prabhupada in the mic shouted, Mantriji kahan hai? And he was right there and he stood up, said, Swamiji, hum yahan hai. And Prabhupada said, unless you take out some time and hear about Krishna and discuss Bhagavad Gita, and then based on that you work, how is your life different from an animal? And the Mantriji said, aap theek kehte hain, Swamiji. So Srila Prabhupada, then he said, Dekhiye, Mantri ji bhi maan gaye. So Srila Prabhupada, he could go to the Sreshthas, he could go to children, he could go to Americans, he could go to Indian leaders. He had such conviction in the words of Krishna that even though the person in front would be wondering, why is he saying this? But still, because of that conviction and the realization, people had to accept. That was Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada asked the question one time, why do you think people are following us in ISKCON? And someone said, because we have so many big temples. Someone said, no, because we have books. Someone said, because we are distributing literatures. Prabhupada said, no. Because we are actually following the principles. We are setting the right example. And because we are setting the right example, people are following us. So, Prabhupada was trying to delegate some, you know, responsibility in Mumbai. And Prabhupada looked at Tamal Krishna Maharaj and he said, he was talking to Gurudas Prabhu. He said, you are very good dealing with people, but you are not very good in organizing things. Then he looked at Tamal Krishna Maharaj. You are very good in organizing things, but you are not very good in dealing with people. So I think this service I only have to do. And then Prabhupada went ahead and he did. And he said, I only wish if some people would help me, relieve me of this organizational efforts, so I could spend more time in writing and publishing these books, because that was a priority. So in 11 years, to spread Krishna consciousness, create temples, fight legal battles, and at the same time, write and publish literatures. We have tough time opening them and reading them. What to speak of going through the details of Acharya's commentaries and picking out what is the exact thing to be written. It's just phenomenal. Unimaginable. In Durban, Prabhupada said, you should have a Rath Yatra. So the devotees wrote back, Srila Prabhupada, there are only two Brahmanas here. And we have Gauranitai deities. How is it possible that we'll be able to serve? Prabhupada said, Gauranitai worship. Why you need two Brahmanas? Even one Brahmana is enough. Why one Brahmana? Even one hand will do. And years later, we found that in Detroit, they actually had one pujari who... It was in Detroit, right? He had handicap and he actually had only one hand working, and he was pujari for many years, and he would do offering and arti and worship and everything just with that one hand. So Srila Prabhupada, he actually not only spread the mission with books, but he also established deity worship and made it so flexible, as Krishnam Prabhu said. In fact, most of the ISKCON temples have been kept alive and the deities have been worshipped by the ladies and the grihasthas in many of the temples all over the world. And that was like his brilliant move. In London, one of his servants had gone to pick up Datun. That was another thing. He would never miss on the neem. So someone said the eucalyptus trees are also very good for Datun. So one of the servants went inside, so he was caught by the police. What you are doing, you know, plucking these twigs from the trees. So he said, I'm taking it for my spiritual master. He said, what is this spiritual master? So he brought him to Prabhupada. Prabhupada was on a walk next to the park. And the servant told Prabhupada that this policeman is catching me because I'm taking these eucalyptus twigs. And Prabhupada told this policeman, you Britishers have looted all over the world for so many years, taken property from everywhere, and now you won't allow one small twig? And the policeman looked at Prabhupada and said, okay, take it. No problem. Someone asked Prabhupada that, okay, you have these people say that you can see God, and the sun and the moon are supposed to be God's eyes. They say sun and the moon are the God's eyes. So we see the eyes, but we don't see God. Why? So Prabhupada said, just like in darkness, when everything is absolutely dark and there is a cat, the only two things you see in the cat are his two eyes. Therefore, because you are covered over by ignorance and darkness, only two things you see, sun and moon, not Lord. You come to us, when there is light, you will see Krishna also. So therefore, Prabhupada said, I have given you everything. I have given you the structure, just decorate it. And then he paused and said, I have given you the decorations also. Just hang it. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Thank you. Thank you, Gaurang Prabhu, for nice, sweet, little Srila Prabhupada nectar. We'll call upon Dwarkadish Prabhu to make his offering. Meanwhile, Shamanand Prabhu, please be ready.
Hare Krishna. Among the multifarious, multifaceted and exuberant qualities of His Divine Grace, one particular thought which I thought was significant also among others was to highlight that how a great personality, how a great master, how a great spiritual master, a great leader can inspire fierce devotion to his own lotus feet. Why is Krishna so great? Among various other things, the type of devotion he inspires in his devotees makes him so much more great. That his devotees, Krishna's devotees, will endure anything for Krishna. Even if a tyrant like Hiranyakashipu is about to kill you, you will still not leave that Krishna whom you have worshipped. Even if you are being crushed to death practically by your enemies like the Pandavas, you will still not leave Krishna's lotus feet. And there are hundreds of examples of people who have been tested severely, but the attraction, the love, the kindness and compassion of the Lord is so overwhelming that his devotees would not trade that for anything of this entire world. Something very similar comes up in Srila Prabhupada in his demeanor. The type of people he has generated by his presence, by his aura, is they have so attached and dedicated to his lotus feet that they would not trade his service and his love and his mission for anything of this world. That type of implicit faith, that implicit faith, Prabhupada was asked once question by one of his senior disciples. Prabhupada, among all these various types of shlokas which we are there and so many hundreds and thousands of literatures, which you think is the most important shloka? Prabhupada's answer was, Yasya devi para bhaktir itha devi tatha gurau tasya takatithai artha prakashante mahatmanaha. The one who has implicit faith in the Lord and his pure devotees, to him all the purports and imports of the entire Vedic literature is automatically revealed from within his heart. So Prabhupada has created so many such beautiful people who just to be told, go to Pakistan and preach, and before the sentence was over, they were out of the room making arrangements. Three young couple with a small young daughter of 1 year were told to go to London with no money. And they touched Prabhupada's lotus feet before they left, and they were empowered. That is implicit faith, that they just carried on Prabhupada's order, then great things would happen. And there are so many examples. So people were told, go to Hong Kong and preach Bhurijan Prabhu. Go and marry this devotee, and they married. So whatever Prabhupada said was so loaded with affection, genuine concern for that person, that no one ever doubted what he's saying as being detrimental to him. So he created servants, devotees, disciples, who were just like Krishna, fiercely attached to his lotus feet. Just like Prabhupada had implicit faith in his spiritual master. Prabhupada was told, if you get money, print books. That one line was enough. That implicit faith that whatever happens in this world, if I get even a small amount of money, even a single rupee, I will buy paper and print it. Same thing in Sarabji Thakur, same thing in Prabhupada, same thing in Prabhupada's disciples. This one quality is very endearing, in which I wish that I can develop in my forthcoming years of bhakti, to have this faith that what Krishna has given us through Prabhupada and our spiritual masters is just so wonderful. There's nothing more required. There's absolutely nothing more required in our lives, and just to simply follow that. Bhavanand Prabhu was once in our temple, and I asked him a question. That Prabhu, we have heard so much. I mean, the type of evidence which you have got now of Krishna's protection and his love and his kindness is so overwhelming. Every book, every literature, every story, every katha, every dham is filled with umpteen amount of pastimes where we know Krishna's love is a fact, is a reality, is a supreme substance of the creation. I asked him, why do it, Prabhu, that why when we have heard so much, why are we still attached to material desires? At that point of time, I was feeling very strongly about that. I don't feel about it strongly all the time, but at the point I was feeling like that. And his answer was very direct, just like Prabhupada would have probably answered, that because we, all of us, are mudhas. You know, his typical way, he says that we are less intelligent, we are fools. Yes, Prabhupada, I would like to develop this implicit faith and not remain anymore a fool. I have heard enough for the last 20 years and more. I have heard sufficiently, I feel. I have seen so many examples. I have seen this family of devotees here, of transformation. I have seen the miracle of your love manifesting in this temple, that everyone who is here, only 15, 20 will speak. The senior Vaishnavas will speak. But the mass of people who are here are just so happy. They have not come here to speak. They just want to be in the aura of your presence. Experience this family feel that we are all your grandchildren. It is just sufficient for us to know that we are attached to you. By just coming in front of you, bowing down to you, just like we say about Krishna, Manmana Bhomadha Bhakto Mandajimam Namaskur. We suggest four things, similarly the same thing for you also, my dear Prabhupada. Just by bowing down to you, by thinking about you, and simply offering a homage to you, life will be perfect. Hare Krishna.
La Prabhupada ki jai. Shamanan Prabhu, please make your offering. Meanwhile, Amritna Mataji, please be ready.
Dear Srila Prabhupada, I would first of all like to thank you for engaging me in your Bhaktivedanta Book Trust service of helping translate your Srimad Bhagavatam into Marathi language. It didn't happen in the past. I worked on Srimad Bhagavatam for the 6th canto and some other cantos for reading and editing part. But especially the 8th one, I don't know why. This is just a few days ago. I developed the habit of reading the Sanskrit word for word, and then trying to gauge what Prabhupada would write in the purport. I know it's forbidden, trying to understand the mind of an acharya, but I'll give a reason. As reference material, Rani Kumar Prabhu, myself, we are using a 1920 printed Marathi Srimad Bhagavatam, and one particular verse, 8th canto, Lord Vishnu has just killed the crocodile and he is taking Gajendra back home, back to Godhead. And Lord Vishnu tells Gajendra, my dear Gajendra, this Trikuta mountain, you, me, the animals, the three peaks, shrubs, plants, bushes, flowers, fruits, this lake, anyone who remembers these and meditates on them will also become liberated. And like the cynic that I am, I was thinking, really? Even if you just think of a shrub or a plant, you get liberated? And then I checked that Srimad Bhagavatam in Marathi. They don't have a purport, mercifully. They just had a last upasamhar, 5-6 pages of a commentary on the entire canto. I checked through those passages and I was amazed. They don't write who wrote this commentary, but they say, this is too much. This is exaggeration. And in very flowery language they say, readers should be careful, should not take the mukhyartha, but should take the lakshanartha. And I was aghast. Now this book was not titled The Defects of Srimad Bhagavatam, or Where Srimad Bhagavatam is Wrong, or anything like that. It was titled Srimad Bhagavatam. So that kept me wondering, what was the quality that Prabhupada had that drove him in his enthusiasm to spread this movement, and he was successful? It was faith. And faith is something which is, like if Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, faith is the only, Krishna consciousness is the only shortage, it's only lacking in this material world. So similarly, for generations to come, Indians, we cannot claim that we don't know who Krishna is. In fact, we know Krishna so much, we don't want to become his devotees. And in the West, they don't know what Krishna is or what Rama is. So imagine Prabhupada's task in supplanting spiritual culture to people who don't understand what it is. Faith can also be seen as the currency of Vaikuntha Lok. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, Shraddha Matra Mulya, Shraddha Matra Loyeden Sakala Sambal. You just have to have faith. Now it's so easy to say, just have faith. In fact, in one lecture, Prabhupada says, Rupa Goswami says, Ado Shraddha, just have faith. We wonder where that faith can come from. In the beginning, one should have beginner's faith. Just like if someone tells you, take 123 bus from Wilson College, it will take you to Churchgate Station. Even if you haven't traveled, you'll ask the conductor, will it go to Churchgate Station? He may say, yes. You have that much faith. Similarly, beginner's faith can help you to chant Hare Krishna, but as you go further, you feel you need, just like a person getting employed, every next year he wants promotion, he wants a raise in salary, he wants more and more of it. A person who's invested money, he wants dividend, he wants more and more return on investment. Similarly, as devotees, and as we see the world outside getting low and low in faith, why do we see so many of these problems outside? Because there is shortage of pure faith. So one particular purport, as I was working, it's very interesting, I just can't resist it. I saw Prabhupada right there. The Lord is very alert to the needs of the living entity. And I write in Marathi, yes, the Lord is very alert. He is very attentive to the needs of the living entity. So I was thinking, well, not for the living entity. Maybe somebody who is a devotee, and if somebody is a devotee and he is praying, and Prabhupada says Krishna is attentive, I mean, so what? Krishna is attentive to his devotee's needs. The devotee is praying, therefore he is attentive. And the next sentence was like a slap. Not to one who only prays, but to everyone's needs, Krishna is attentive. I said, my God, he understood my mind. I was thinking, yes. Harishori Prabhu once complained that, you know, you did translate only few digits today, only few digits today. And Prabhupada said, I can finish the whole thing in 6 months, but I have to write in such a way it penetrates your skull. I read this many years ago and I was very, it's like a nice joking thing, but then when you actually feel it, that how much doubt, here is Prabhupada saying that Krishna is attentive. And I am supposed to be his official translator. And still I am thinking, no, it may not be like this, it may not be like this. So, anyway, just to end with two short examples of how this kind of faith can help. His Holiness Shivaram Swami Maharaj wrote a wonderful book called the Shuddha Naam Chintamani. At the end of the book, at the very fag end, he gives an example of a fictitious devotee called Achyutananda. He has his ups and downs, he has his things with faith. And finally, in full Krishna consciousness, he leaves this world. And he gives a comment, Shivaram Swami gives a comment. Practically all of ISKCON ignored this person's departure because so many people every day are going back to Godhead. It's practically like a commonplace occurrence. Somebody coming, joining ISKCON, performing devotion service, getting faith, readying himself, no material modes are controlling him. His rocket is catapulted into outer space, finally landing in Vaikuntha. Shivaram Swami is predicting it's going to be a commonplace thing. Anjani Priya Mataji, practically or hardly anyone knows here, she had a very troubled family life, was staying alone in Bombay, had a job in railways, was diagnosed as having cancer. When it was actually being diagnosed, it was at the last stage. Giriraj Prabhu and other doctors were saying that could be weeks or maximum some months. And the palliative care unit of Bhaktivedanta Hospital, they were giving her the last stage treatment. The very last day, she was sort of losing her consciousness, becoming delirious. And she said, Jagannath Swami had come and said, come, I am ready. So they were thinking, what does she mean? She was not talking for a few days. After that, she left at around 2:30 in the morning, as I am told. But at 10:30 or something, she called her nurse and said, Prabhupada is telling me, Anjani Priya, it's enough. Come, I'm ready. That was the last sentence she spoke. I think Brajbihari Prabhu told a story of a brahmachari who was also a terminal patient in Russia. Similar symptoms, stopped speaking for a long time. Finally, at one point, he had his friends chanting Hare Krishna. He just opened his eyes. Maybe he had seen something. He couldn't describe what he had seen. And he told his friends, hey, Prabhus, Prabhupada has not cheated us. He couldn't describe what he saw, but he could only say one thing. Prabhupada has not cheated us. Closed his eyes and left his body. So, this is, sorry? Oh, I thought you know the name or something. Ananda Pragya Prabhu. This is from a devotee from Russia. Now, for us, just like in an academy, when you have two or three of your own students getting Nobel Prizes, they put their portraits on the wall. They say, this is our legacy. These are the students who actually did great going from this academy. Shivaram Swami here is predicting that devotees going back to Godhead through the agency of ISKCON is a commonplace activity. All you need is that faith. And that faith is available in plenty in Srila Prabhupada's purports. Working on those purports during the daytime, sometimes I feel bored. I just leave them. I take a nap. Or I just pace up and down. I chant or do something else. But sometimes I realize this is a product which was not manufactured but manifested in the early hours, 12:30 to 4 o'clock. How much he has given. In fact, once Srila Prabhupada said, the best of me is in my purports. The best of Prabhupada's is his heart. The best of his heart is his faith in Radha Krishna. And that's what we can have if we serve his purports. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada, for giving us your Bhaktivedanta purports. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Thank you, Shyamananda Prabhu. Call upon Amrit Naam Mataji now. Meanwhile, Rohini Priya Prabhu, please be ready.
Dear Srila Prabhupada, your appearance in this world is the only auspicious thing in our lives. Otherwise, we would not have been here today. On this day, we take the opportunity to express our love, our gratitude, and our loyalty to you, Srila Prabhupada. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada, for your compassion on all Mataji disciples, on all of us Matajis. You have given us an equal opportunity to serve Krishna, whether in the DT department, whether in book distribution, in preaching, etc. You have, in the course of your classes, narrated many small stories. You have narrated the story of a rat who became liberated by offering service to Vishnu. The rat was running on the altar and one of the ghee lamp was about to go off. The rat, thinking the wick to be some foodstuff, stuck his whiskers in it and it caught fire. But in the process, the lamp burnt brightly. Because of this unconscious service, the rat went back to Vaikuntha. Srila Prabhupada, like this rat, we too are insignificant, insincere, unintelligent, unqualified, and undeserving. As you told one of your disciples, you have made our qualification. You have given us everything, Srila Prabhupada, books, temples, your followers, and wonderful opportunities to serve. If we just follow the process you have given us and follow the instructions of your glorious disciples, then we have some hope. I pray today, my dear Srila Prabhupada, may I forever remain in the shade of your lotus feet. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada.
Ki Jai. Thank you, Mataji, for making such a nice, sweet, small offering. I'd like to request Rohini Priya Prabhu to be ready. Meanwhile, Mahaprabhu can be ready.
Dear Srila Prabhupada, we, your servants at Shishirada Gopinath Mandir, have had the opportunity to see your miracles spread not just at the temple here at 7 KM Munshimar, but in so many other small places around the city of Bombay, satellite centers, and also in so many other places in the state of Maharashtra. So I was unfortunate to not be here for Janmashtami. I had the fortune of being at a small town called as Bhusawal, wherein there is a deity of Lord Krishna called Lord Muralidhar, who was established by the great Brahmins of Kashi on the desire of the king and the local king and zamindar of Bhusawal. The deity is more than 100 years old. But because of political changes in post-independent India, the influence of the kings, the local king, declined so much so that his present descendants are just living ordinary lives. So one of his descendants in his advanced age, for many, many years, he was trying to keep a promise that he had given to his own father, who, while leaving his body, had asked him that, please take care of this Muralidhar. See that Muralidhar ji is properly taken care of. For almost 3 decades or more, the worship of the deity had, the standards had really fallen. So finally, because of the preaching program at UICT, I think it's known by a different name now, the son of the local zamindar, ex-zamindar, inspired his father to come to our temple here, and was so inspired seeing the deity worship and the standard of deity worship here and the the vibration and seeing all the devotees, especially on a Sunday program. For almost 2 years, he was chasing around or chasing behind us to take over the temple. So finally, by the blessings of our body, the governing body, the temple did come to us. And this Janmashtami, the local residents who were there, they had tears in their eyes. And they said, one of them commented, really, and this was a nice-looking gentleman, very sober. He said, the worship had degraded to such an extent that we felt that Muralidharji is going to leave any day. But today, having experienced this, we realize that Muralidharji has given us another chance. He wants to stay. And he said, this is all because of you. And the only identity, he said, is because of you, nice devotees of ISKCON. The local pujari who's performing service to the deity commented that now when we put bracelets on the arms of Muralidhar, they no longer fit. It's as if his arm has grown thicker. So, one other of our book distributors, Rajgopal Prabhu, was serving there at Bhusawal. He distributes in trains. So one day, as he was distributing Prabhupada's books, he does that every day along with other devotees. One person asked them, is this Bhagavad Gita good? Is this the Bhagavad Gita? This was in the AC coach compartment. And another person from the next coupe somehow overheard this. He had seen the brahmachari going by, so he had overheard this. He came from that next coupe and he said, don't you know this is ISKCON's Bhagavad Gita? This is the only Bhagavad Gita. You take it. So the brahmachari did not have to preach also. So this is the wonder of, this is your mercy, Srila Prabhupada. This is a miracle. And more importantly, the realization that Rajgopal Prabhu had is, he said, through so many years, couple of years of doing book distribution in trains, when I'm distributing books, I've seen people appreciate the Bhagavad Gita as it is. And they always say, this is ISKCON's Bhagavad Gita. There are hundreds of other translations of Bhagavad Gita in the world, and they are known by the name of the author. But this is the only Bhagavad Gita where they know it as ISKCON's Bhagavad Gita. And this is Srila Prabhupada's great contribution. He has put always the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna in front. He has made him famous. And in reciprocation, Krishna has made him famous. Today there are so many devotees who owe their lives, their existence to Srila Prabhupada. There's a small town, a small village, a hamlet actually, close by. It's called Muktai Nagar, Bhusawal. I'm trying to, because I spent some time there, and so just about a satellite centers. There's a devotee, a disciple of Srila Loknath Swami. His name is Dhanvantri Das. He's got some knowledge of Ayurveda, so Maharaj gave him a beautiful name. He took initiation in 2003. His father is a very principled man. Nice culture, nice values, raised up his son accordingly, his family well respected in the town. But his father could never accept his son accepting shelter of ISKCON. He was very much against it. He always was opposed to it. Not just opposed, but vehemently opposed. In 2006, his father was also having a guru from some other process, some other sampradaya. And he accepted those teachings and he was very particular about following them. So in 2006, his father suffered a serious illness, which was very debilitating, very quick. And he was on his deathbed. And he saw Yamadutas coming. coming to grab him. So Yamadutas come to a small town like Muktai Nagar also. Yeah? They're all pervading. He came to grab him. And in great desperation, he could not remember anything else. He just chanted out loudly, Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna!
And lo and behold, no, that was all. If you want, you can chant him how much. But he just chanted, Hare Krishna. And to his great surprise and relief, the Yamadutas just turned around and walked away. And not only that, he recovered his health. And what happened after that is amazing. He took away the photograph of that guru and said, following him has only led me to see the Yamadutas. So out. But chanting Hare Krishna has allowed me to send away the Yamadutas. So from today onwards in this house, only the Hare Krishna Mahamantra will be constantly chanted. And get a big photograph of Guru Srila Prabhupada and put it in my house. And he said, get the Srimad Bhagavatam. And the Srimad Bhagavatam and the holy names became his only activity. He lived for 5 more years till 2011. Early this year, he gave up his body chanting Hare Krishna. This time, most probably the Vaikuntha Dutas came, the Vishnu Dutas, to take him back home, back to Godhead. So this is the wonderful miracle of Srila Prabhupada. Once the devotees are gathered around Srila Prabhupada, and the context was, I'm paraphrasing this, I could not get the reference for this, it is just from my memory. And they were discussing that how one day the entire world will become totally Krishna conscious. And the devotees of ISKCON would provide this service of good leadership in terms of good leaders in parliament or wherever else these institutions, administrative institutions. And then one of the devotees, out of affection and respect for Prabhupada, said, and Prabhupada, you shall be king. And Prabhupada answered very humbly. He said, no, you shall be king. He told his disciple, you shall be king. And then very matter-of-factly he replied, and I shall be the guru to the king. So yes, Srila Prabhupada, you are our eyes, you are a guru eternally, whoever we may be. Vrindavan Chandra Prabhu, I think so, if I'm getting his name correctly. This is also from past, I could not get the book again. He narrates his experience of Prabhupada in the early days, seeing the Bhakti Vedanta players performing a drama. The Pandavas retiring timely. It was there in the Leelamrit also. But this is his experience. And Prabhupada was so much appreciative of the drama that at one point of time, when Arjuna is speaking to Maharaj Yudhishthir about Krishna's disappearance, it was performed so very wonderfully that Prabhupada had, he glanced at the audience. He snuck a glance like that. And he saw Prabhupada had tears. He saw, that was his seeing. And after the drama was over, they were very much surprised by what Prabhupada said. And I'm very much inspired by it also, and I would like to share with all of you in presence of Srila Prabhupada. I want to thank these boys for performing such wonderful service. These plays are better than reading my books. Now, when we speak of appreciating someone's service, I think this takes the topmost position. Prabhupada said his books are the law books for 10,000 years. They are his personal ecstasy. But he's so much appreciative of his devotees' service. And then Prabhupada was sitting with around 20 sannyasis around him, very profound preachers. He asked all of them to go away and said, clear the space for all the dramatists to come and sit here close to me. And then he said, these are the words of Vrindavan Chandra Prabhu. He said, these plays are very pleasing to me, and I want everyone to know that all these boys will go back to Krishna after this life. So Srila Prabhupada, I would like to conclude by a very wonderful realization by your disciple Tamal Krishna Maharaj, His Holiness. 1995 he was giving a lecture and said, when Srila Prabhupada was with us, we never ever thought that he would leave us. But then, after he was gone, his exact words are, I transcribed it, as soon as he was physically absent, we immediately felt his presence in so many ways. There were so many instructions, and there was above all our service to him. When you do service to your spiritual master, you feel your spiritual master's presence. This is actually how you feel your guru's presence. So today, this is my prayer unto you, Srila Prabhupada, and also my feelings. Thank you so much for allowing us an opportunity to feel your presence by following instructions. Thank you for this legacy, Srila Prabhupada. We are most unqualified, but it is only your supreme grace that we can connect to you through your vani, your instructions, and always feel your presence. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you, Rohini Priya Prabhu. The time is already up. We have to end. We have Mahaprabhu Prabhu speaking now. After that, Govind Prabhu will make his offering and then also read the Vyas Puja offering of His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
I'm so lucky to get a note. Please finish it in 5 minutes. Anyhow, I have actually this morning in Bhagavatam class, I have talked on the subject and in the Jew temple also, but still I will like to, because the instructions comes when I know that when I'm going to come, something is going to come immediately. It's always happened that, not first time. I want to convey something, that Srila Prabhupada was very heavy. He never compromised. He was heavy from the beginning. He told Mahatma Gandhi that you retire from this politics. Otherwise, you will die a miserable life. Just before his death, when he has gone to America, in their country, he said to these people, I have come here to tell you what you have forgotten. You see, you are going, you know, somebody's country, talking like this. He was talking to the sadhus of India, means Vrindavan. Wherever he has gone, he has never compromised. Why? Because purity is pure. Until unless there is purity in a person, it means there is no motivation of any nature whatsoever. Krishna will give power. If we people, it's not only that Srila Prabhupada was, you know, has empowered some people, as Krishna Chandra Prabhu was narrating Sue Stall, or I can narrate Gaur Hari Prabhu. You see, we may talk about Bhagavatam, or Prahlad Maharaj was great, or Dhruv Maharaj was, many people cannot relate it, how it will affect our life. But if I tell you, Gaur Hari Prabhu, IIT boy, after doing his IIT, doing M.Tech, a guy doing PhD, or whatever, DSC, and got a big job from Google, and which he refused, and then he took job of IBM. Less money. And when IPM people say you cannot work, means IIT people said you cannot work when you are in IIT. He gave up job, big job of IBM. Why? Because he has understood the conclusion of total Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita in 18th chapter 68 and 69, O Arjun, anybody who is talking or preaching or talking about me to the devotees, that person is most dear to me. There is nobody more dear to me. And Gaurihari Prabhu understood this thing. He said, there is no other institution in the world better than IIT. He gave up millions of rupees job and he took professorship of IIT. So he can preach. Merely talking. Either we are problem or we are a solution. If we are not ready and willing to follow, merely talking is not going to solve the problem. We have to see now how much, you see, whatever we are doing, morning to evening, we have to make plan what Prabhupada wants us. Prabhupada, if purport of Prabhupada, as Shyamananda Prabhu said, if we read those purport, not only for reading, it's not novel. You have to read those purport, as Prabhupada said in these purports. Please, whatever you are doing, if it is not connected with Krishna, that is Maya. We have to sit down and plan morning to evening. But if previous night, what I am going to do tomorrow? Until unless we plan out these things in our life, we may be in a movement for 20 years, 10 years, 30 years. We may talk big here. We have to see how we can apply certain things in life like Gaurihari Prabhu or like other devotees. But then we can count some people only, like Prahlad Maharaj. Now we have opportunity. That this opportunity we have got here. This place is very, very powerful place. So we must see to it now how can we apply in our life. And last thing, I will add one thing. Prabhupada said, which I liked it very much, and that he said about the family life. This morning, I spoke here also in Jew temple, but somehow or other, I don't know why I'm feeling like it. You see, because 99% people are going to get married. And it is not all the time that everybody marries is very successful. I'm telling you, I'm an experienced person. But remember, if marriage is successful, just like we have seen many people, Dwarkadish Prabhu is a wonderful person, but he's saying, well, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. But, you know, he's admitting. Remember what one thing. If somebody is wonderful, marriage is wonderful. They are wonderful for Krishna. There are many people, I don't want to call their names. Wonderful. But if marriage is not successful, you shall celebrate it. When Prabhupada was not having good time with his wife, this is from Leelamrita I'm talking, and he was trying to marry another girl. He decided to marry another girl. Somehow or other, Gaur Mohan Day came to know that Prabhupada is going to marry. So he came to Prabhupada and told him, I understand you are marrying another girl. Because he has given training from the beginning. His mother wanted him to go to barrister England. And you see, he wanted him to learn mridang and asking blessing from the sadhus. Please bless my son so he can become a devotee. So at that time, Gaur Mohan Day said, Abhay, I want to tell you, if you want to make spiritual progress in your life, please don't marry another lady, girl. Because you will get so much involved in that married life that you will forget spiritual life. Be whatever Lord has given, be satisfied. And that, see, by Prabhupada has accepted that, you know, advice of his father. And by that mercy, he made this Hare Krishna movement throughout the world. Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki. I'd like to call upon Govind Prabhu to read the Vyas Puja offering of His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj.
Hare Krishna. Our Srinath Ji Prabhu had written offering for our temple. I'll read that first, then I'll read the offering of Maharaj. Dear Srila Prabhupada, please accept our humble obeisances. All glories to your lotus feet. Today we remember your most through your superlative books and the divine instructions you have given us through them. In many of your purports, letters and lectures, you have instructed us to chant a minimum of 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra daily. You have also given us the four regulative principles and loving assured us that we can chant our rounds without offense and observe this regulation sincerely. Krishna will take us back home, back to Godhead in this lifetime. At such difficult times in Kali Yuga as this, through this simple instruction you have given us, you have given all of us such an opportunity to be elevated to the eternal devotional service to Lord Krishna. Dear Srila Prabhupada, you have also mercifully taught us the sacred principle of being humble servant of the devotees. In the Bhagavad Gita purport, you write, one should learn to become the servant of those who are in knowledge of the Supreme Lord. If one is fortunate enough to take shelter of pure devotee, hear from him about self-realization, and follow in his footsteps, one will be gradually elevated to the position of a pure devotee. Through the wonderful association of devotees, Sadhu Sangha, at your loving secret ISKCON centers, you have given all of us unlimited opportunity to perfect our lives by hearing about Lord Krishna. It is in this Sangha that following the regulative principles and chanting our rounds become an easy and happy experience. You personally followed these principles and established the highest standard of Krishna consciousness. Your example proves that the Krishna conscious lifestyle is fulfilling and most satisfying for any soul. You were the personification of true spiritual bliss. Even in the midst of serious calamities like the heart attacks you faced or the envious people in the initial days in Juhu, you always remembered Krishna and sung the Lord's glories happily. These wonderful transcendental qualities of yours give us hope that we can somehow remain connected to you and your wonderful devotees. We can survive the cyclonic attacks of Maya. We are spiritually weak and are struggling with anarthas. And we are also driven by our false ego. Yet your causeless mercy can take even us unqualified souls back home, back to Godhead. Please continue to shower your divine mercy on us, your spiritual grandchildren, and help us stick to the basic rules and follow the advanced devotees, your disciples. We want to please you by following these instructions of yours as your life and soul. You are unworthy servants of the Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Temple, Chaupati, Mumbai, India, written by Srinath Ji Prabhu. I'll read this offering of Radhanath Swami Maharaj. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminite Namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gaurvani Pracharini Nirvishesh Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatvarani. Dear Srila Prabhupada, while masses of people struggle for relief from endless suffering and aimlessly seek pleasure to compensate their empty hearts, we find sweet shelter in your wisdom and love. The past year was marked with striking events that shook the earth. A massive tsunami devastated Japan. And soon thereafter, unprecedented tornadoes ripped through the southern states of USA. Riots, demonstrations, and killing sabotaged the Middle East as governments crumbled. A 10-year manhunt culminated as the savage terrorist Osama bin Laden was shot dead and dumped into the sea. While his cohorts vowed revenge, prominent nations were thrashed with a plummeting economy, while the United States increasingly resembled the third world. Meanwhile, the world helplessly looked on as Pakistan continued to expand its nuclear arsenal, and we watched our beloved Vrindavan being torn apart by senseless greed. Surrounded by hopelessness, confusion, and despair, we are reminded of the simple truth that you imparted. Godhead is light, ignorance is darkness. Where there is Godhead, there can be no darkness. Krishna's grace is everlasting and limitless. While in comparison, the entire creation is but an evaporating cloud in the spiritual sky. On the path of devotion, there will always be infinite hope and joy. Your life is a testimony to this blessed truth. This year also marks the event that endears our hearts to you. 40 years ago, you demonstrated the power of your relentless compassion. In the summer of 1971, you quietly entered Moscow at a time when the crushing operation of communism was at its summit. The government restricted your actions and monitored your every move, but they could not more check your compassion than they could quell tsunami. In the case of a tsunami rising up from the fathomless ocean of Krishna's grace. In those few days in Russia, sitting in a dingy little hotel room with only your secretary and one stranger as your audience, you launched a spiritual revolution that shook nations and affected millions of lives. These incredible acts of love were your mission. Only 6 years prior to your miracle in Russia, at 70 years old, alone and penniless, you quietly stepped off cargo ship in New York. It appeared that the only support you had was simple wooden cane, scratched and dented by your years of struggle in Krishna's service. That small framed, unassuming saint was about to travel, about to reveal to the world, through hundreds of centers and tens of millions of books, the most intimate nature of God's love. I pray that we may strive to express our gratitude to you by following in your holy footsteps and focusing on the essential truth you come to give the world. In these turbulent times, when humanity is desperate for real solutions and starving for God's grace, I pray that we may rise above the entangling distractions and petty disputes that will inevitably come and be united to dedicate ourselves as instruments of your divine grace. My beloved Guru Maharaj, this lovely servant's heart belongs to you. With endless gratitude, Radhanath Swami. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj ki. Jai Srila Prabhupada's Appearance Day Festival ki.
So now we will have Pushpanjali ceremony. Request all the devotees to get up. Govind Prabhu, kindly make the Pushpanjali offering.